when we can all come back together again. And so I want to bring this lesson tonight. This lesson is titled, The Events Surrounding the Crucifixion and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of the things that you may hear tonight may be new to you. Maybe they're a review to some of you, and that's fine. But I suggest this, whether they're new, whether they're a review, whether you agree 100%, I suggest you study the Scriptures, search the Scriptures to see if these things that I teach tonight be so. And if you find anything that you may disagree with or whatever, feel free to reach out and talk to me. More than happy to sit down with you. John chapter 12 is where we are. And we're looking at John chapter 12. We are 6 days before the Passover. How do we know that? Well, it's in the opening text, the opening verse. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Let us pray tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together one with another. We pray this evening that you would bless your word, bless the teaching, Lord. This holy scripture, Lord, that you would open up our heart and our mind and our understanding, that we may take on board the truth of the word of God. Lord, despite the traditions of men, despite the holidays, despite everything that may be taught today, I pray that we would answer them faithfully and fully through the teaching of the precious Word of God, and nothing more, nothing less. And Father, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus Christ's name, we lift up the name of the Lord tonight. Amen and amen. So here's what we find. 6 days before the Passover brings us into where we're going to look. 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So the first day that I want to look at concerning the events of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is we want to go to the Sunday. We want to go to Palm Sunday, okay? So we find 6 days, which is in John 12, 1 and 2. The next day we find John chapter 12, look down in verse 12. John chapter 12 and in verse 12. The Bible says, and on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. So we see Palm Sunday. This is that referencing to the triumphant entry, if you will. And it's a good word to note to see and to understand in verse 16. The disciples didn't understand necessarily what they were doing and what was being said at this present time. But after Jesus was glorified, after his resurrection, they remembered these things. So Jesus, we understand, slept in Bethany on Sunday night. On Sunday night, okay? Mark chapter 11, verse 11. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you. Actually, we're going to be there on the next one, if you will. So go ahead and open your Bibles. Go over and flip over to Mark chapter 11, because we'll be there for a handful of verses here in just a moment. So here's what we find, that Jesus slept Sunday night in Bethany. Mark 11, 11 says, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So we know that as Jesus had his triumphant entry into Jerusalem that day, we also know through the other Gospels that he went into the temple and he ran out the sellers and the money changers and all this and that. And when he had looked around, we see in Mark 11, once the evening time came, he went out back to Bethany, and that's where he slept Sunday evening. So that brings us to Monday morning, still in Mark chapter 11. On Monday morning, Mark chapter 11 and in verse 12, the Bible says that on the morrow, when he were come from Bethany, he was hungry. He was hungry. So we find that the next day he's coming from Bethany. So this settles us. We understand Jesus Christ spent Sunday night in Bethany. He gets up in the morning time. Monday morning, now we are. This is when he curses the fig tree on Monday. On Monday. Mark chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible says, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. heard it. So that is Monday morning. Monday morning, we know he curses the fig tree. And remember, when they leave and come back through again, they see that fig tree. But I don't want you to see Monday evening, we see that they had gone in Jerusalem Monday morning. They go down there during the Monday time. Well, Monday evening, they depart. Still in Mark chapter 11, look down in verse 19. Look down in verse 19 with me. Mark chapter 11, verse 19. All right. Verse 19 says, "And when even was come, he went out of the city." So that gives us our 2 days where we are. He sleeps in Bethany Sunday night. Monday morning he gets up. We find that he curses the fig tree on that Monday morning on his way into Jerusalem. And at the evening time, when it was come, he departed out of the city. Which brings us again to the next day, which is Tuesday. We look at Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning. Again, we're going to still be in Mark chapter 11. And I want you to look down in verse 20. In verse 20. Mark chapter 11. In verse 20, this is what we find in verse 20. "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou curseth is withered away." So Tuesday morning, that we see the reference that again is brought back to that fig tree that Jesus Christ cursed just the morning before, 24 hours later, we find that it is withered up. So now we know, okay, and in the morning, verse 20, and in the morning, this is Tuesday morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So this night, this was the night of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's table was taken. The Lord's Supper was instituted. The new covenant was instituted on Tuesday evening. On Tuesday evening. Look, if you will, over in Matthew chapter 26, just be a couple pages over to your left. Matthew chapter 26. I'll have a couple verses here that I won't have you turn again to, just for time's sake. There's a lot of notes here tonight, a lot of teaching. So the night of the Lord's Supper was Tuesday. Matthew 26 and in verse 1. Matthew 26 and in verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Now guys, the Passover was eaten on Thursday. According to the Jewish computation of time, was that Wednesday begins at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. We'll talk about that here a little later on in the lesson. But according to a Jewish computation of time, Wednesday would begin at sundown or at 6 p.m. on what we would refer to as Tuesday. All right, this is confirmed in Luke 22 and verse 7 when it says, "Then came the day," now that's Tuesday evening, "of unleavened bread. And when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." Mark chapter 14 and verse 12, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that we may eat the Passover?" It was our Tuesday after 6 p.m. when the disciples were told to find a place to eat the Passover. As they sat, now here, this is a free lesson for you, this is free. As they sat, now Amos chapter 6 verse 4, sat is defined, and this will mess up some of your supper pictures, I understand, but they sat down. They wasn't sitting at a table, but they were sitting along with like pillows, and they were sitting along their hips, literally on the floor. As they sat to eat, okay, this is the last supper, which is in preparation of the feast. It's not the feast of the Passover, it's in preparation of it, which is the last supper. Leviticus 23:5 says, "In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." Luke 22:7 says, "Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed." You find how that aligns perfectly here. Luke 22, the Passover must be killed. Okay, that's the preparation for the Passover meal. That's not the Passover that the Lord's Supper is being partaken of. Many people get mixed up on this. They get mixed up on it in different ways. Most people, they try to say, well, look, this happened, that happened. That's not what it is. So that's free tonight. That's just a little free add-on, if you will. So Jesus is arrested on Tuesday evening. Turn to your Bibles. You should be in the book of Matthew. I think you're still in Matthew 26. Go to Matthew chapter 26 and look with me in verse 36. All right, so Jesus is arrested on Tuesday night. Now, at what we've looked at thus far, And what we've calculated is we see Sunday, we see the triumphant entry, we see Jesus sleeping in Bethany on Sunday evening. Monday morning he gets up, he curses the fig tree. Monday evening they go out of the city. Tuesday morning they come back toward the city, walk past the same fig tree. Peter brings to attention, here he is, this tree is withered up from the roots. Okay, so by now they're in Jerusalem. They're looking for a place that they may eat that their meal that night. Matthew 26, verse 36 says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane." So the Lord's table is already instituted. They depart out of there. Judas has already left. And they go to the place of the garden. The prayers have already occurred. And notice this right here. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, "and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." This is when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying, "Father, if there be another way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." All right? And so that prayer happens. We know that the Peter, James, and John fall asleep three separate times. Jesus comes, his sleep on, fine, finishes his prayer. He comes back into the center part of the other area where that Garden of Gethsemane is, where the other people are. And we look down in verse 47, about midway through, just beyond midway through of the chapter. Verse 47, and the Bible says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people." Now you can cross-reference Matthew chapter 26, verse 47, with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23. It says, "And for I have received of the Lord that also which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So we know that the night that he had the Lord's table, we have already confirmed that that was Tuesday night. That was the next day after he cursed the fig tree. Peter saw the fig tree withered away, and they come into the city. There, the Lord's table is being taken. So now we find that Paul had received by revelation and records that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that the same night that he was betrayed, okay, Jesus Christ took bread. So now look in verse 57 of Matthew chapter 26. It says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Now the chief priest and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days." Now this is where we are. That prophecy of that temple was not in reference, if you will, of the physical temple built with hands, but the temple referring to himself. He was able to lay his life down and raise it in 3 days. So here we are, guys. Jesus Christ is standing before Caiaphas on a Tuesday night, on a Tuesday evening. He was betrayed after him and his disciples took the Last Supper. That's confirmed with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Matthew 26. He's able to, we understand that that is the particular night. We've already seen the dates. I don't need to kick a dead horse. We've seen thus far that we are all the way to Tuesday evening when Jesus Christ is arrested and is standing before the high priest at this present time. So that gets us to Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning says in Matthew 27 and in verse 1. Matthew 27 and in verse 1. The Bible tells us here, when the morning was come. Now, this is the very next chapter, guys. Okay? I'll stop there just for a second. So Matthew 26 continues on. It continues forward. And all the events that happened, all the arrests that happened, all that had occurred. And now the new chapter, chapter 27, when the morning was come. What morning? The very next morning. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, Jesus Christ, guys, I want you to understand this. And we're going to talk a little more about this later on as well. Jesus Christ is crucified at 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Mark uses the Hebrew computation of time, whereas John uses the Roman computation of time, the Roman method. It was the third hour according to Mark's account. It is the sixth hour according to Roman time. Again, we'll see that here even more so a little later on. This is the same principle with the apparent quote-unquote discrepancy that you find in John 19:14. This says, and it was the preparation of the Passover. Again, Jesus Christ never partook of the Passover. It was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Now, the reason we find here that there's a quote-unquote discrepancy that people say, again, Mark uses the Hebrew computation of time, whereas John uses the Roman computation of time. Mark is going to say the third hour, and John is going to say the sixth hour. So this is due to the fact that Romans, as all Gentiles, would begin their day at midnight, just like we do today, just like every Briton, every American, every German, etc. Our day begins at midnight, our new day. So when we woke up this morning, today being Wednesday, last night we would have said, as soon as the clock turned over to say 12:05 and we're in our bed, that's still Wednesday morning according to our computation time. In the Hebrew did not computate their time that way. All right, it's from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. All right, remember in the book of Genesis where when the Lord created day one, day two, day three, and he says, and the evening and the morning were the first day, the second, okay? See, they look at the evening in the beginning of that particular day. So 6 a.m. you're looking at as a different time than it would be than it would be in a Roman computation of time. So when the Roman computation of time is that sixth hour, we understand that sixth hour is 9 a.m. If we said the third hour under the Roman computation of time, that will be 6 a.m., which would not line up with the scriptures. All right? So when it's the Jewish sixth hour, that is 9 a.m., okay? We understand it. Mark 15:25 says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. So the third hour in Hebrew time cannot be the third hour in Roman time, else Jesus would have been killed at 3 o'clock in the morning. Therefore, we understand that the Jewish day begins at 6 p.m. on the evening, and it ends at 6 a.m. It's 6 p.m. On the evening is when one day begins, and it ends 24 hours later. So we understand that's when their day begins and ends. You can see that in the parable of Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. You don't need to turn there, but just write it down, Matthew 20, verses 1 through 6. So we see that the scriptures are perfectly aligned one with another, that the Jewish third hour and the Roman sixth hour are both the same time on the clock, 0900 on the dot. So this is the way this plays out, that Jesus' final appearance before Pilate is around 6 a.m. to 6:30. Now you say, well, preacher, why can't you be exact with this? No one can be exact with how long he stood before Pilate or how long he was there or what exact time frame that was there. We know roughly 6 a.m. to 6:30. His final mocking and disrobing is going to be around 7 a.m. You see that in Matthew 27, verse 31. His gauntlet to Calvary, if you will, goes from about 7:30 to 8 o'clock in the morning, we would say, roughly. Listen, but his cross, we know for a fact, is lodged into that socket at exactly 0900. Jesus Christ is hung on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning, the Jewish third hour, the Roman sixth hour. So he had been hanging there on that cross for 3 hours before darkness is cast upon all the land. So we find that there was darkness over all the land from noon until 3 p.m. That's we're using our time frame now. That's the sixth hour on the Jewish clock. Look at Matthew 27. You're probably still there. Skip all the way down to verse 45. The Bible says, and now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Okay? So that is that sixth hour there we know. if he was crucified under the Jewish time frame, all right? Remember, Matthew uses the computation of a Jewish, it's a Jewish book. And so if we know that if he was crucified at the third hour, at 9 o'clock, we know that the 12 o'clock would be that sixth hour all the way up until the ninth hour. So 3 hours we have, 3 hours we have that darkness is all over the earth. At about the ninth hour, Jesus Christ would cry out and die. That's found in Matthew 27, beginning in verse 15. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after the resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. The next thing on the scene, we find that Joseph of Arimathea buried the body of Jesus. And when did he do that? He did that at and before sundown. Look over in the book of Mark with me real quick. I'll give you time to turn there real quick. Mark in chapter 15. Mark in chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, begin down, look down at verse 42. Begin with me in verse 42. The Bible says, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea..." Now you say, well, wait a second. Shouldn't that be Saturday? No, this is the Passover week. There's multiple Sabbaths. There's many Sabbaths during this week. So that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, and he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body of Joseph. Gave the body to Joseph, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. So that's what we have. Jesus Christ is buried at sundown. All right, because the Passover was there, because it's Passover week, all bodies had to be removed from the crosses prior to sundown. So they were taken off the cross, and he was buried at sundown on Wednesday. So now we come into the great teaching of 3 days and three nights. Thus far, what we have seen, we've seen Wednesday, we've seen Wednesday morning, we've seen Tuesday morning, we've seen Monday morning, we saw Sunday. We saw Sunday night. So we see that he's in Bethany. We know what on Sunday night that he sleeps there. He comes back into Jerusalem on Monday. He departs out of the city, comes back into Jerusalem on Tuesday night, has the Lord's Supper that evening, goes into the Garden of Gethsemane on Tuesday night. He's betrayed the same night that he took bread, taken before Caiaphas, taken before Pilate, Herod, and all these things that had happened. And then finally, by 9 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday morning, Jesus Christ is crucified. Darkness goes across the land for 3 hours. We understand that has happened. He's taken off the cross before sundown, and he's buried at sundown in a tomb that no man had ever been laid by Joseph of Arimathea. So now, where do the 3 days and three nights come in? Where is the argument that we have Good Friday? What about Good Wednesday, right? And I understand this. It's traditions of men that have taught Good Friday. There's a whole litany of reasons why this false teaching has come into play. And I'm not here to bash other people. I'm not here to highlight their falsehoods. I'm just here to tell you that it doesn't matter how you shake it. It doesn't matter how you twist things. And that's what they've done. You ain't getting 3 days and three nights from Friday to even Sunday morning as people proclaim Jesus Christ rose from. And I'm going to show you tonight through the scriptures. The 3 days and three nights, biblically speaking. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. So here's the prophecy that Jesus Christ has given. You don't need to turn there, just write that down. And I'll give you a verse that we've already read. You stay in Matthew 27, okay? So Matthew 12 and verse 40, Jesus Christ gave a prophecy, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." All right? 3 days, a day is 24 hours. Sun up, sundown, all right? 3 days and three nights. Matthew 26:61, we read here just a moment ago. And the Bible says, these are those false accusers, but they're telling the truth. And said, "The fellow said, I am to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days." All right? So Matthew 27, and that's where you are right now, and should be. Look in verse 39 with me, 39. Now watch this here. They're mocking him out because of what they heard him say. Verse 39, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." They missed the whole thing. They missed the whole thing. They're saying, look, if you can rebuild the temple in 3 days, why don't you come down off the cross? Jesus Christ had to die on that cross. That temple of God, that he was the temple of God, had to be destroyed, buried in the grave, so in 3 days and three nights, he would pick it up again and bring his life back to this earth. Mark 15, 29 says, "And they that passed and railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, come down from the cross." So they're all mocking him out. They're making fun of him. Jesus Christ had said in John chapter 2, verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years with this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. So all of that's answered. The prophecy is given. The foreshadowing of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is seen all the way back in the book of Jonah. Jesus Christ confirmed that himself. He, when he said himself, was said that destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And they thought he was talking about the stone and brick temple, but the scripture's clear, John 2, verse 21. But he spake of the body of the temple of his body. So all of these verses say 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. Now notice this with me carefully. 3 days, listen carefully, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay? Watch this. Three nights. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. You see. He was buried at Wednesday night. So the three nights are Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night. The 3 days are Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So when does that have him rising from the grave? Sundown Saturday night, according to our computation of time, being Gentiles. But remember, and I'll touch on this in a second, Jewish computation of time in the evening and the morning were the first day. So technically, when he rose from the grave, when the sun went down on what we call Saturday night, that was the closing of the day of Saturday for the Jews. And that was the beginning of what we call Sunday, or the first day of the week. Remember when Mary went to the tomb, and well, let's just read this. Look in Matthew 28, sorry. Look in Matthew chapter 28. Monitor my time real close here right now. I'm getting close to being finished. Matthew chapter 28, look with me in verse 1. Matthew 28, the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Now, before you say, you go, hang on a second. It's the first day of the week. That's Sunday. All right? It's the dawning of the day. Yeah. But that angel made it clear that Jesus was not there. They didn't witness the resurrection. They didn't see it. He was already gone. Look over in Mark 16 with me. Turn over to Mark chapter 16 real quick. Oh, I love it when the scripture comes together, guys. It's just beautiful stuff. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now watch this. "And when the Sabbath was passed," verse 1, sorry, "and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entered into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, clothed in long white garment. And when they were frightened. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him." So guys, think about this for a second. You're still, I know what you're holding in your head. You go, yeah, but see, they're there early in the morning when the sunrise services so many churches adhere to. Just hang on. Go to Luke 24 with me now. We look at all accounts. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I think it's quite clear that we know that Jesus Christ was crucified Wednesday night, rose again when? Well, you'll see in just a moment. Luke chapter 24, and look with me in verse 1. Luke 24 and verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices with which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. Watch this, and the third day rise again. Finally, go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John in chapter 20. So John chapter 20 and in verse 1. Now watch this. And this here is going to should settle everything tied all together. Verse 1. And the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Watch these next few words. When it was yet dark. All right. Unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, speaking of John, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him. So first off, when you begin to look at Easter sunrise services, those are not biblical because Jesus did not rise from the grave when the sun came up. Mary was there while it was yet dark, prior to sun up. And he was gone. Why was he gone? Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave at sundown on what we refer as Saturday. Now, according to a Gentile, a Roman computation of time, 6 p.m. on Saturday really means nothing to us because we got another 6 hours to go until Saturday's over with, but not in the Jewish computation of time. You see, the Sabbath begins on Friday night at 6 p.m. and ends on our Friday night at 6 p.m. and ends on our 6 p.m. Saturday night. But according to the Jews, once that sun goes down, or that 6 p.m. on Friday, Saturday begins. So Saturday rolls all the way over until you have that sundown once again on Saturday. And then you have, what do you have begin? The first day of the week. So by the time Mary and them come to the grave, while it was yet dark, the sun wasn't up, Jesus Christ had already been risen from the grave for probably 12 hours already. Probably 12 hours. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Thursdays, Friday, Saturday, then up from the grave he arose. So there's an explanation I want you to see here from John chapter 12. Because this is one of the areas where people, they get kind of hung up on. I want you to notice what happens between these 6 days. I think it's clear. I think we've already made the point that Jesus Christ was crucified on a Wednesday, risen again on a Saturday evening, but still the first day of the week he arose. It's still a Sunday. It's just not when the sun goes up. It's when the physical sun went down. Explanation of John chapter 12, look in verse 1. I want you to underline, if you underscore in your Bibles or take notes, these first four words says, Then Jesus, 6 days. And I'm going to read a few verses here. Before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table with them, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and held the bag, or had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 10. But the chief priests consulted then that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was come to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And I want you to notice the time between 6 days and the day referred to as Palm Sunday. Within this period of time, Jesus came to Bethany, had supper with Martha and Lazarus. Martha anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and Judas spoke in opposition, etc., etc. So further explanation is really seen in this, and it's given in Matthew 26. You'll get a clearer explanation of this as we begin to cross-reference and answer the Scriptures with the Scripture. Remember, the Bible has a built-in dictionary, and you should let the Holy Scriptures answer the Holy Scriptures. Matthew 26, and in verse, begin with me in verse 6, it's now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Look in verse 11. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. So the passage here, just as in Mark 14, verses 3 through 9, is undoubtedly parenthetical. For in John chapter 12, verse 1, it's said to occur before the triumphal entry. You can see that in John 12, 1 and John 12, 12. But in both Mark and Matthew, the wording is, and being in Bethany, or now when Jesus was in Bethany. So the actual night of the Lord's Supper is on Tuesday night. And yet he was not, when he was not in Bethany, but in Jerusalem. So the passage that you read here is obviously a parenthetical statement. You need to understand that. And it goes back and recalls an incident that took place earlier in the week or during the week. So remember that, if you will, when you begin to study this out and you begin to look at it, don't get confused by it. A little more help on this, guys, and then we're done here this evening. Look at Matthew 26 for the last time. Matthew 26 and verse 1. And it came to pass, as Jesus finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people into a place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. I want you to take note that the feast day is the day that the Passover is eaten, which is Thursday. The Passover is killed on Wednesday. Jesus Christ is our Passover. He is the Passover. So the Passover is crucified. Jesus Christ is crucified on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. to follow the order that is given and the reason behind the Passover. The Passover, when they came out of Egypt, when they killed that lamb, and they killed that lamb there with millions of lambs being killed there in Egypt the night before they left, when he would pass over them, when the blood would go on the door, and with the blood would go on the doorpost, almost going into a cross motion, if you will. It's a foreshadowing of what Jesus Christ would do. Hey, listen, that Passover in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, brought in a new covenant for Israel. Jesus Christ died on this cross, and he brings in a new covenant. So the Passover is killed on Wednesday and eaten on Thursday. Jesus Christ is killed on Wednesday and buried Wednesday night. So concerning Matthew 26, verses 1 through 5, just to make it clear tonight, the passage takes place on a Tuesday evening before 6 o'clock. Since the Passover was killed on Wednesday, not Friday, it's eaten on Thursday. We can read that. Write these verses down, Numbers 28, verses 16 and 17. It is still 2 days before the feast of the Passover. We just saw that Mark 14, 1 confirms this. And as the Passover was eaten at 6 p.m. on Thursday, the disciples go out and choose a room for the supper on Tuesday. Not the Passover, for the supper on Tuesday before 6 p.m. when that supper was taking place, when Jesus Christ would institute what's known as the Lord's table. So, beloved, I hope and pray this has been a blessing to you tonight. I hope it's been some help to you. It may be some new information for you. Here's what I recommend. Study the Scriptures. Study the scriptures. Study the King James Bible. Study the scriptures out tonight and get a hold of that. And let the scriptures speak to you this evening. Rather than reading a book about the Bible or reading a man's opinion about the Bible, study the scriptures. I've taken nothing here in these notes. 10 pages. I've taken nothing outside of a book other than this AB 1611. And using verses, cross-referencing one for another, letting verse answer verse upon verse, precept upon precept, to give you the truth about the events surrounding the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today, it's Wednesday. Wednesday at 6 p.m., Jesus was buried. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And at sundown on Saturday evening, Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and hallelujah that He did. I hope and pray you have a blessed evening, guys. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, who and what you are. Pray now for your continual blessing. I pray that you'd open up our hearts and minds and lighten our souls according to the scripture. And Lord, we will give you honor, glory, and praise. And thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the glorious gift that you have given us of the Holy Scriptures. In Jesus Christ's name we do ask. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good evening.